Welcome back to Agents of Providence. I am Doyle Burbank Williams. I get to be the pastor for the people of New Visions United Methodist Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. And this podcast is a time that I get to offer you some of my thoughts and reflections on the things that we use to shape worship at New Visions. We're in the middle of a series about dreaming, and so we're exploring different aspects of dreams and how dreams open us up. This week, we're looking at dreaming being an invitation to change. Hang on. Change is coming. I know that's not always good news, but it is constant news. So stay with us. We're going to hear a story from the book of Acts, where a dream led to a big change in the nature of the early Christian movement. So we'll be right back. This is from the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Two little sections, if you're following along, verses 9 through 17, and then verses 34 through 48. At noon on the following day, as their journey brought them close to the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted to eat. While others were preparing the meal, he had a visionary experience. He saw heaven opened and something like a large linen sheet being lowered to the earth by its four corners. Inside the sheet were all kinds of four-legged animals, reptiles, and wild birds. A voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter exclaimed, "Absolutely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke a second time. "Never consider unclean what God has made pure." Now this happened three times. Then the object was suddenly pulled back into heaven. Peter was bewildered about the meaning of this vision. Now just then, messengers sent by Cornelius discovered the whereabouts of Simon's house and arrived at the gate. Peter said, "I really am learning that God does not show partiality to any one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships God and does what is right is acceptable. This is the message of peace God sent to the Israelites, proclaiming the good news through Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism John preached. You know about Jesus of Nazareth, whom God anointed with the Holy Spirit and endowed with power. Jesus traveled around doing good and healing everyone oppressed by evil because God was with him. We are witnesses to everything he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to be seen, not by everyone, but by us. We are witnesses whom God chose beforehand, who ate and drank with him after God raised him from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through this name." While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on everyone who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They heard them speaking in other languages and praising God. Peter asked, "These people have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Surely no one can stop them from being baptized with water, can they?" And he directed that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. and then they invited Peter to stay for several days. Sometimes we feel that there's no hope for a positive change. And sometimes the church itself feels like an impossible place to change. But Christ is all about transformation. Maybe a better word is resurrection. If we can dream of change, then we can change. We seem to have entered an era of intransigence. Right now, people are determined to think what they think, regardless of evidence, facts, or even passion. There are still a significant number of Americans who believe that the whole COVID pandemic was a hoax. Over 1.1 million deaths notwithstanding, it was a giant conspiracy to make mask companies profitable or something like that. Members of both major political parties are convinced that their members and candidates are righteous and trustworthy, while their opponents are demons. One of the hallmarks of this mindset is an intolerance of complexity. It has to be just this one thing. Everything else is false. One of the traditional standards for ordination in the United Methodist Church and its predecessors is evidence in a person's life of the gifts and graces of the Holy Spirit. I have known persons pursuing ordination in our denomination who clearly have been called by God. Their preaching, their compassion, their insight, and their commitment to the gospel are beyond dispute. But they are gay. For years, that was all it took for the institution to kick them out. Despite what God was showing in these persons' lives, the rules were the rules and could not be challenged or changed. The Southern Baptist Church is making news right now because they're treating women in the same way, simply because they're women. In the early days of Christianity, one of the great controversies was who was really, or who could be really, a follower of Jesus. Clearly, one major faction seemed to say Jesus' teaching and example was from the Jews and for the Jewish people. It was unthinkable that non-Jews could join the movement. For many in that day, this was a reasonable stance. It made sense. Welcoming Gentiles into the fold just did not make sense. It just wasn't done. In the book of Acts, Peter seems to have some of this traditionalist thinking. Peter is bewildered by this weird dream or vision about food. A voice in the dream invites Peter to eat every kind of food, cheeseburgers, pork ribs, eel nigiri. Peter defends his adherence to the purity codes, but the dream happens three times. The heavenly voice rebukes Peter, "Don't call anything impure that God has made pure." Peter has no idea why he had this dream. Then Cornelius shows up. Cornelius was a military commander for the Roman army. Now, remember that the book of Acts was written late in the first century, after Rome destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. Those first readers must have been horrified at the thought that a person of power in the empire would want to become a Christ follower, let alone imagine that within a couple hundred years, that Christianity would become the official religion of that same empire. But Peter looked at Cornelius and his family, and suddenly his foodie dream made sense. I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another, Peter said. When the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles, Finally, even those with Peter were convinced of the egalitarian nature of this movement that they thought they controlled. Now it was a movement that even welcomed Gentiles. What reason can't change, what evidence and facts can't move, dreams can shift. If Peter hadn't seen the heavenly buffet, how might he have responded to Cornelius? For decades, many of us have dreamed of a United Methodist Church that recognizes the gifts of the Spirit evident in the lives of LGBTQ plus persons that God has clearly called. I'm not sure if all of us had some kind of heavenly buffet dream, but I know that many in the church who would not have embraced this day even a few years ago are doing so now. Too many remain unconvinced of the breadth of God's love, though, and they have marched out of the denomination. I pray that they too will have dreams. I am immensely grateful for the dreams of the pastors who have preceded me at New Visions. They dreamed of three separate churches who could live and work and be in ministry together. They welcomed unity the way Peter welcomed Cornelius. They laid the groundwork for us to see the dream of being one congregation leaning into the future. I also believe that the ability to dream shows up in each of our lives. We can dream that our individual lives can change. We are not trapped by our failures, our anger, disappointment, or despair. Our dream reminds us that God offers us transformation, even resurrection. We are created with the capacity to change. Dreams offer us that freedom. So let's encourage each other to dream of encompassing love, to dream of a new way to offer love to this hurting and intransigent world. Let us dream new visions. And so here are a few questions to ponder along those lines. What dreams do you have that seem confusing? What new worlds might our dreams be nudging us toward? What in today's world would our parents or grandparents never dreamed of? And how can we prepare the church for the dreams of our children and grandchildren? This is Doyle Burbank Williams. Thank you for spending this little bit of time with me again on Agents of Providence, that idea that somehow the way that we live in the world makes a difference, that we can be agents bringing love and grace into each other's lives and into the world. Would love to engage with you if you have some comments to make, and I'll see you next time again on Agents of Providence.